Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your reaction, I guess, the more measured one rather than the space that you guys will have heard, I guess, where we kind of just got straight into it. To Mauricio Pochettino's sacking, it is myself and Tom here to talk briefly about the situation and also to take a quick look at the five current front runners who are looking to get his job. Tom, first of all, how are we doing? We all right?
I'm great. Yeah, that was obviously not fantastic news, but life goes on. 24 hours after the sacking, I'm a bit more measured and like, actually, is it the end of the world? I don't know, maybe I'm unique in that feeling.
Elaborate, because I just find it illogical the more I think about it.
Oh yeah, it absolutely is illogical, but just then when we were going through some of the results this season, I think the sacking now is illogical. I think it now looks really kind of tone deaf from the board's perspective, quite arrogant maybe, a bit stubborn that they made their decision ages ago and there was no possible way he could improve when clearly he had improved, results were better. The players really liked him, etc. But I think you look at, you know, 5-0 at Arsenal, there are a couple of dire, like the 4-2 at Wolves. We went through an entire month in the Premier League where he didn't score a goal. It hasn't been all plain sailing this season. And I think when you look back at a little bit more, and, you know, football fans are very fickle people, myself included, I'm no different. But when you actually look back beyond the last sort of 5-6 weeks when Chelsea have been playing well and have got good results, it's not been a very good season. You can't just blame injuries for that. You know, we've all been moaning about Poch all season, about, you know, even things like playing Chilwell at left wing. Why is he playing this? Why is he playing that? Why is Sterling playing for so long? Little things that throughout the season really annoyed all of us. And then at the end, and as it turns out, it might have actually been after he'd pretty much already been told he'd gone, that's when it started working. So all I'm saying is, having actually looked back on it, was Poch the guy to take us forward? Maybe. But he wasn't perhaps as amazing a manager for Chelsea this season as a lot of people are saying he was, as a lot of people have kind of alluded to. I think the main reason people feel that way, and I'm the same in this regard, is that the front runners are just so underwhelming. No one really thinks that they're better than Poch.
Mm.
And that is the issue. But in terms of Poch, I've kind of moved on from him, to be honest, because I never really had a massive emotional connection with him. It's not like with Tuchel, where obviously I was gutted for a long time. But with Poch, it's a bit like, well, with Potter I was actively celebrating, which I've only ever done, I think, with a couple of others, Sarri being one. I was happy he went. But Poch is just a bit of a, eh, he's gone. I just think it's a really interesting decision to do it now, as I say. I think it looks really poor, because what's happened now is Poch has gone out with his reputation high, because he's ended up going out on a high and finishing sixth. And he's gone. He's not been sacked. It's a mutual consent thing. Whereas Chelsea have come out and everyone's looking at Chelsea going, what on earth is going on there? And I think it's going to put players off. I think it's going to put elite managers off. Whereas had they done it after Wolves at home, when we lost 4-2 to Wolves at home, having just lost 4-2 to Liverpool, and I think we were like 11th at the time in the league, I don't think anyone would have batted an eyelid. So that's the thing. And I think at the time we were all a bit like, yeah, I'm not sure about Poch, but is there anyone better? Now we're a bit more like, actually, Poch is okay. And there's no one better. That's the thing, which comes out, and that's why there's a bit of anger around. But you got it wrong again. And that, I think, is the key thing. They keep getting it wrong. They've got it wrong twice now. They sacked Tuchel, which is obviously a massively unpopular decision. Brought in Potter and his entire Brighton coaching staff, which cost Chelsea approximately £26 million to hire and fire within 8 months. They then brought Frank back and won one game. And then they brought in Poch. And then after a season, at the end, when he started to pick up results, they then fired him and we're back to square one. So that's the frustration for me. We're back to this position again of, right, we have to get it right. And then you look at the list of managers, which we'll go through in a minute, and you think, I don't think any of those are the ones who are going to be the right one.
Mm.
So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, like you're saying, football fans are fickle. And I do think that you and I, if you go through all the pods this season, it has been a bit of an emotional roller coaster. I think, in fairness, both of us, by probably mid-April, maybe a little bit earlier, were kind of looking at it going, oh, hang on, there's something here. And then the Arsenal game happened. And then everyone thought, right, that's it, curtain's done. But then afterwards, what I really liked about Pochettino is where we'd seen someone who I felt had been quite placid. After that Arsenal game, we saw someone with a bit of grit, a bit of fire. And you could see that he was actually getting it. Like, he was getting that connection. He was understanding how to be part of Chelsea. And I think at that point, everyone's kind of sitting there going, do you know what? Like, yeah, we're onto something here. This isn't bad. And then lo and behold, they sack him. And as he said, we say mutual consent. From the reports, it's basically he wanted a longer contract and he wanted more of a say on transfers. And they went, nope, cheers, see you later. Which I think is a big issue. Also, he highlighted his maybe less than favourable plans to with Moises Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez as a pivot. Didn't really feel they worked. Obviously didn't want to sell Gallagher and Trevor Chalobah. And straight away, what we've seen somebody who was trying to do his job correctly, I think is fair to say. In, again, hindsight's a beautiful thing. People saying, oh, it was a Spurs manager, we need to get him out for ages anyway. What a clown, doesn't know what he's talking about. That this was a club which is saying, well, we want to run on data. The data was all going the right way. If you want to go on the intangibles were also going the right way. I still think about the fact that after that final game of the season, on the final score show, I was saying to score, yeah, pretty happy with this. Only thing he needs to work on is relationship with the fans. That was it. But the rest of it, I was going, yeah, do you know what? We're going the right way here. Let him do his thing. Let him crack on. And we'll go from there when his contract ends. Because we were in a stage which needed stability with a coach where the players could develop. We had that with someone who's been credited by the players as the best man manager they've ever worked with. You talk to people that work at Chelsea as well, that are at Cobham or, you know, work within the club, and the time they spent with Pochettino, they only have glowing recommendations for him. They only have ideas of him which show that he was somebody who was doing the right thing. What I don't like about this whole situation is it's another person who has been caught in the crossfire by people who don't know what they're doing and are using their position to play the game politically rather than actually do their job. That's my opinion anyway on the information we have in front of us. Because overspending on players, not signing key players until transfer deadline day, not having the coach in place until very, very late into June for the pre-season, hindering that progress in the first 10 games, which cost Chelsea Champions League football. You know, the whole situation, for me, plays out with Winstanley, Stewart and other parties. I really feel that. And to be honest, I feel it's less... I don't think it's Stewart as much. I think it's more Winstanley. I really do. Because he seems to be in a lot of places, doing a lot of things. And he's a man who has come in from Brighton, has continued to operate like he's at Brighton. And the same goes for Stewart, in fairness, as well. You know, I guess that's the barometer they've been given by Bed Agbaje. And when he did say, you know, what's the plan with Chelsea? Oh, well, Tony Bloom runs a very solid model at Brighton. I'm like, okay, the issue here is this is not Brighton Football Club. This is Chelsea. And you have a set precedent. You may be the owner, but you are also the custodian. And quite frankly, during the stewardship, I'm less than convinced. I'm also less than convinced, by the way, a lot of people have just been going for Todd Boehly in this situation. I don't think it's him. I really don't. I look at his interview with Bloomberg, where he's going, the football's better, everything's going the right way, I'm really happy with this. And then see that he wasn't in that meeting either, despite being the chairman of the club. And he was the one who took Pochettino to dinner. There's something in that. There really is. And I know it might not be popular, and I think it's easy just to throw Todd Boehly under the bus in a lot of situations, but I do not think it is him in this situation. I think there's something going on which we don't know about.
The thing with Boehly, I guess, is he's the most, he's the only one. I was going to say he's the most outspoken. He's not outspoken, he's just the only one who's actually kind of done any sort of engaging with people. And I guess he's, despite Agbaje being there, he's kind of the face of it, really. He's the face of the Clear Lake purchase, I suppose. And that's why he gets a lot of slack. It's all a bit of a grim scenario, really. What I find most frustrating with the whole thing is Winstanley and Stewart have appointed Potter and then fired him. They've then appointed Pochettino. That's not worked out. And who's the two that are going to be appointing the next manager or finding the next manager? It's them again. And at some point, you've got to go, well, hang on, what's the common denominator here? Because you can't tell me that Graham Potter and Mauricio Pochettino are bad managers. They're not bad managers. They've done well before and they'll do well again. They're just not suited to Chelsea. And these two are the ones who have hired them. And they've got it wrong. And they've set Chelsea's project back probably at least a year, if not even
longer.
Two.
Oh, longer. Longer.
With the hiring of Poch. And now they're the ones doing the next one. You've got to think from Egbali's perspective, why am I not... Well, I would be thinking, why are these two still here? Why am I not getting two new people or a new sporting director who is competent, a technical director who is competent and knows what they're doing and knows how to operate at this level? And these two have been constantly making what seems like horrendous mistakes and getting away with it. And once again, like you say, caught in the crossfire, maybe the scapegoat of the failings has just been the manager. And that's always the way in football. You have players underperforming, etc., or poor transfers, and it's always the manager that goes. But in this perspective, you've got to look above it. How many managers are they going to get to appoint? Are we just going to keep doing this, appointing a manager and then getting rid of them at the end of the season until we get one right? I mean, Chelsea have always had a hiring and fire policy under, you know, they had that under Abramovich and it was very successful. But very rarely did a manager go for the wrong reasons. If they were fired, they were almost certainly fired for the right reason, and they would have gone early because Abramovich didn't muck around. Like, Poch would have gone ages ago, and as I said, no one would have gone, oh, really? They would have gone, yeah, that was coming, fair enough. Now they just sort of, I don't know. And you know, it seems like, I mean, there are a lot of rumours about when it happened. I've heard about rumours that it happened after the Arsenal game. I've heard rumours happened after the League Cup final, that they kind of made their decision that he was gone. It kind of would make sense that it was the Arsenal game because it was after that that he then kind of seemed to adopt a bit of a fuck it attitude and changed a bit around, seemed to get a little bit more hostile towards the press, almost like he knew, you know what, I've got six games left, I'm going to try and go out here, get sixth and leave a bit of a legacy with me at Chelsea. And that's, I think that's what happened, really. He's come out, as I said before, he's come out of this looking like the good guy. He's linked to some big clubs already because he is a good manager. And Chelsea are now, you know, you're going to have players that might have been looking at Chelsea before and going, oh, that looks like a, hang on, there's something going on there. They, you know, Palmer and, you know, the amount of players who got injured, then getting, they've now got European football, they've got such a young squad, it's in London, the Premier League, I might go there. And now you're going to have players going, ooh, maybe not. I'll wait that one out. And it's just going to set us back behind other clubs in a similar position to us. And it's, I mean, the managers that we're looking at, which we should probably get onto discussing, I just think they're so underwhelming. And to be quite frank with you, I think they're all unqualified to take on a club. A Premier League club, most of them, let alone Chelsea. You know, I think a lot of them, we're talking about Kieran McKenna before we go into it properly, but he's done brilliantly at Ipswich, don't get me wrong. He's never managed in the Premier League. And I'm just like, why would you sack Poch to bring in a manager who's managed in League One and the Championship, albeit done amazingly, got back-to-back promotions. It's a really good story, and I hope Ipswich do well with him as their manager. Why would we go to him? Makes no sense. De Zerbi.
Oh.
A man who won, what, 7 games in 28 at Brighton?
Oh, sorry, not to mention that he lost all 3 against Mauricio Pochettino.
And the one in pre-season, so let's call that 4. Two managers I don't really know. The Stuttgart manager, Mr. Hoeneß. Don't know anything about him. Mm. Did really well with Stuttgart. They finished second in the Bundesliga. Fair enough. Michel from Hirona, again, know nothing about that. Hirona did really well this season. Fair enough. Maresca from Leicester. Leicester were absolutely flying and then very nearly bottled it and didn't even get automatic promotion. Is that the kind of manager we want?
Exactly.
Another manager who, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know the background of him. Has he managed in the Premier League? No. Just because he's one of Pep's, old sort of number twos or, you know, assistants does not mean he's necessarily an excellent manager. So that list to me is really, really concerning.
Yeah.
Statistically, it's not as bad, but then you look at the levels. I don't want to be that guy, but Bundesliga, La Liga, Championship, and then a very underwhelming Premier League campaign. That's what we're looking at. That's the list. And then you can throw in some other names into that ring. Again, it's just underwhelming. It's like me going, you know what? It was a general election. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring, I think. Then the other option is Tuchel, who did not get on with this board. They got rid of him. And
Conte's on the list.
I don't see that happening.
Jose's on the list, but all four of those have been ruled out.
Just, you know, do you go back to your toxic ex? No. And then the other one's Amorim, who again, I don't know anything about really. He's the one that we've been linked with for a while. And based on this list, is probably the one that if they did get him, I'd go, okay, let's see what this is about. Primarily, actually, because he plays three at the back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can get behind that. But I think the key thing for me, and it is absolutely vital, is get this sorted within the next fortnight. And if you fired him, and you made that decision a little while ago, and you haven't managed to make progress with anyone, what on earth are you doing? Because with Potter, to be fair, when they got rid of Tuchel, Potter was in instantly. So they'd obviously been doing it in the background. If they haven't been doing that this time, that is really worrying. Because we need to get this manager in, and then we need to get the players we want in. The manager needs to actually be able to say, this is what I want to do. This is the formation I want to play. These are who I want to play where. These are what I want. And then if they go and sign other players, then what's the point? It's just a deeply frustrating thing, I think, because we're all quite happy. I was really happy with the end of the season. Mm. It was like, oh, Chelsea are back. Here we go. And then, no, manager's gone 48 hours after the season ends. You know, just enough time to kind of let the Thiago Silva bye-byes fade. And then, yeah, Poch, you're also gone, mate. See ya.
It's a joke, isn't it? But anyway, as Tom did allude to, we do have the list in front of us. So we have Stuttgart's Hunes, Sebastian Hunes, Michel from Girona, Kieran McKenna from Ipswich, Enzo Maresca from Leicester, the bane of my life in Roberto De Zerbi. And we've obviously also mentioned that Ruben Amorim's name is potentially being banded around as well. So, with all of that being said, ladies and gentlemen, for what we thought would be the final time this season, it turns out it's not. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
I am back, and I'm not happy to be back. And I didn't really have time to be properly back. And so I have borrowed some stat. Well, I say borrow. You can never really claim a stat. But the Elastico CFC scout at the _Elastico on Twitter. I'm giving him a shout out because he's done some amazing work here on these managers. Because I didn't have time between last night when he got sacked and today after a day of work to do this. So much appreciated. Clean sheets. Now, there's been a lot of talk this season about Chelsea's defence and the fact that we've conceded so many goals. Which we did concede so many goals in the Premier League. Chelsea kept 8 clean sheets this season. All of those teams, so Girona, Stuttgart, Leicester, Ipswich, not Brighton, all of the other ones kept more clean sheets than Chelsea. In fact, Ipswich and Leicester kept almost double, but those are top teams in the Championship. So can you really compare that to the Premier League? I'm not so sure. So the only Premier League manager there, De Zerbi, kept fewer clean sheets than Chelsea. So, you know, there you go. That's kind of a nothing stat. Shots on target, Chelsea came quite low. 4.89 shots on target per 90 against, compared to Leicester, 3.43, Stuttgart, 3.79, and Brighton, 4.34, which is just really not that much lower than Chelsea, to be completely honest with you. So not that big a difference. Goals per 90, that is an important thing. Chelsea this season did score goals. That's one thing we struggled with last season. This year, we more than doubled our goal tally in the league. 2 goals per 90 overall. Only Stuttgart and Girona had better. Stuttgart with a quite impressive 2.29 goals per 90. Leicester and Ipswich were both 1.91 in the Championship, which to me is not great. And Brighton really, really struggled to score goals this season. 1.32 goals per game. Brighton did not play well in front of goal this season, and they had a lot of the ball. They play this so-called beautiful football, but their goals were not good enough. Shots per 90 as well, Chelsea ranked pretty poorly, to be honest, but 14.13 shots per 90, it's not horrendous. Ipswich 15.57 was the best of those teams, but again, you know, it's not a hugely material difference. Possession is perhaps an interesting one. Chelsea had 58.6% possession. You know, these board members seem to want a Chelsea team that runs possession-based football. Well, Leicester had 61.6%, and they were the highest, only 3% more. Ipswich had 53%. You know, so if you want that young, Xabi Alonso-esque manager who dominates possession, it's not Kieran McKenna, I'm afraid to say to you, Mr. Egbali, Bowley and co. So yeah, basically, from those managers we've mentioned there, I am quite underwhelmed from both a statistical standpoint and an objective standpoint and a subjective standpoint, I suppose. None of them please me particularly, to be honest. I don't think they're an improvement on Pochettino. They might be slightly, statistically. But as I say, the only one who can really compare to properly is De Zerbi, because he's been in the Premier League. And De Zerbi was poor this season. Brighton were poor. And I don't really understand how De Zerbi, a bit like Kompany, is getting linked to the clubs like Bayern, to be honest with you. It just suddenly seems like there's a bit of a lack of top managers suddenly, which is concerning.
There's not a lack of top managers. There are many top managers available. It's just the fact that every single top manager does not want to come to Chelsea. And can you blame them? It's insane.
No. And they've made a rod for their own backs now, because this is what they've got to deal with. None of them are good enough. They'll get sacked, especially if their expectations are get top four and compete for trophies. Oh, okay, let's get a manager in who knows nothing. Well, they might not know nothing about the Premier League. Let's get a manager in who has no experience of the Premier League, with a squad who have, most of them, one season of Premier League football. Some of them not even that. Look at Nkunku, who played about four games. Look at Lavia. Yes, he played with Southampton before, but not a full season. You know, you're losing Thiago Silva, your most experienced defender. Somehow you've got to fit Enzo in the team, figure out how that's going to work after Caicedo and Gallagher look so good together as a pivot. What you're going to do with Jack Jackson, is he going to play on the left? Are you going to bring another striker? There are so many things there that need a constant to fix it together and work it out. And with a young squad, you can't keep sacking the manager. You just can't. You need a man. Look at Arsenal. I don't like looking at them because I hate them. I don't like looking at them as a barometer, but they were absolutely shit when Arteta first came in. That first season, think about all the fans, Arteta out. And the board were like, nope, we're going to wait. We're going to be patient. And they listened to what he wanted in the transfer market. They gave him what he needed. And suddenly they shot up from being a team that were really struggling, that ended up finishing eighth, to finishing fifth. And then they finished second. And then they finished second again. And now they look, with a pretty young squad generally, like a team that actually are going to compete for titles. And I would not be surprised at all if they won the title in the next... Well, they need Pep to leave, but they're there. They're ready to win. They're competing already. That's what Chelsea need. And they can't do that if, you know, you have a manager who comes and he finishes sixth. All the young players love him. It felt like someone was building, and they get rid of him to bring in a championship manager, or a manager who had one good season at Stuttgart when Bayern basically didn't turn up, or, you know, a Hirona manager in
their only good season. That season with Hirona was like a Leicester season.
It was, and they didn't even win the league. So it's deeply frustrating. I've got a mate who's an Ipswich fan, and he just doesn't understand why McKenna would leave. This is a thing from the outside in, from people who aren't Chelsea fans and are asking me about what's going on. I'm like, I have absolutely no idea. And then they're sort of like, well, it just looks absolutely bonkers. Not a single person I know has gone, well, to be fair, like, I think Kieran McKenna would suit Chelsea to perfection. And by the way, I'm not saying any of these managers are bad managers. I don't know much about most of them. I can't comment on them. They just haven't managed at this level, or maybe that sounds really arrogant given where Stuttgart finished. They haven't managed in the Premier League. And when you've got so many players who have so little experience, both in football and at Premier League level, you need a manager who knows how this league works.
Exactly.
It is so different from all the other leagues in the world. And that's not an arrogant thing. It just is. It's physically massively different from all the other leagues. And you're going to bring in a manager. I mean, on that shortlist, the only one with experience is De Zerbi, whose record is pretty average. It's bananas. It's absolutely bonkers. I'm hoping that list is just completely wrong, and there's actually someone that isn't on the list who they're going to bring in. But I can't think of anyone who's got, unless it's Jurgen Klopp, I can't think of anyone who's got Premier League experience who's available, who isn't De Zerbi or someone, or Frank Lampard round three. Where's Gus Hiddink?
No, it's insane. It's insane. I think Thomas Frank was obviously one that's been thrown about.
Oh, yeah.
He's one I'd consider. But again,
he's better than that list, because he's had three seasons in the league?
Yeah, he's better than the list. But do you know why he's been so successful at Brentford? Because he's been there a very long fucking time.
Yeah, exactly. He knows how it works. He knows how the system works. The thing is, as I've said, whoever they next bring in, they have to back. Or there's never any accountability. They never just admit, yeah, we got it wrong. They just go, and then get rid of them after a while. Like, they kept Potter for way too long. And then they ended up getting rid of Poch. And in the end, like, yeah, okay, maybe that's the right thing, because him in the last month managed to get us probably Europa League football, assuming City, who appeared to be enjoying their post-Premier League celebrations, so that slightly worries me that we might be playing Conference League. But assuming City can beat Man United in the FA Cup final, Europa League, which is great, but now I'm like, it looks like another season where maybe not having Europe will be better because we're going to have a manager who doesn't need more games. It's just, it's really frustrating. As I've said a few times already, I said it on the space, I said it already. It brings the real positive vibe that we had in April and May post-Arsenal game to a crushing halt. I think is a pretty sad indictment of what this 2 years has been under Clearlake, of just a lot of promise. And ultimately, we're fed up now. We're fed up of, oh, look, here's another shiny new toy, another transfer. We're fed up with that. We want results. And we started to get them. We started to be like, okay, here we go. And then you took that away. And now you're fixing it, and you're fixing it with the most underwhelming list I've ever seen for a Chelsea manager shortlist.
It's not. But it's the fact that evidently they don't, based on what I've been reading today, they want someone who's just going to say, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags all, sir.
Yep.
You want us to sell this player? Fine, go sell that player. You want to buy this player? Fine, do this. But then if you want that, you're not going to get someone who's going to be capable of doing the job, because they're just going to roll over every single time when something needs to be done. And then there goes the cultural dynamic, which is so pivotal at Chelsea, which has been instilled for 30 years pre-Clearlake, where it's very much... I appreciate they want to do things differently, right? But if that's the barometer, rather than actually cultivating and creating and sustaining what was already there, and just to basically use us as a case study for when they sell us, then I'm extremely worried. I want to know why they're doing it the way they are. Because that's the other thing. We still have no idea what the structure is and how it operates. But as you've already said, there is a very, very clear pattern in terms of what we're looking at. And there are only two people that are stuck in the whole way through. So, you know, to be honest, the fact that when Stanley and Stewart took so long to get the Pochettino appointment right, apparently, because that was the whole thing. We want to get it right. Lads, in no uncertain terms, I think you fucked it. I really do. And if anybody should be looking over their shoulders, it should be them. Because it shows, yeah, it doesn't work. It shows it doesn't work. And I am very unimpressed with how the structure is operating. I'm just perplexed. Like, I've seen people shouting and screaming, and it's past that point. There's no point shouting and screaming, because the way it looks, the way it operates, it makes no sense. It's kind of, you can't shout, what can you shout and scream about when it isn't there? We don't know what we're looking at. You know, it's important. I get everyone talk. I've talked about the, you know, the culture that's pre-existed, right? And I'm saying that they should be appreciating that. I'm not saying that this is what Chelsea used to be, this is what it should be like, because that makes it sound like Arsenal fans and Liverpool fans before they won anything or looked semi-good for a while. The reality is, where we're stuck, the only people that can fix it are actually refusing to do so. And it's either a victory for ignorance with this, or there's going to be a stroke of genius we have no idea and we don't see coming. Because I don't know what one it's going to be. One of the things we did see earlier, Tom, when me and you were chatting, was that they're talking about Cesc coming in and joining the backroom staff. If you were Cesc Fabregas after what's happened, he literally did an interview. And a lot of players have done interviews over the past 24 hours. Ashley Cole did one. John Terry was very vocal on Instagram. Cesc Fabregas has come out and said, I don't get it. I was literally talking to him for an hour and a half about the football and it was fantastic. It was great. It's a shock. So if I was to turn around, all right, and I'm Clearlake, and I go, hey, yeah, why don't you come to Chelsea? Look at our project. It's fantastic. We're doing things differently. It's working. No, it's not. It's not working. Yeah, but look at the results. Yeah, you just sacked. Who got you the results, you idiots? Why would I put my neck on the line for that? And again, nobody on this list fills me with confidence. None. it is a combination of flavour of the month and flavour of the decade. Flavour of the month is Michel. Flavour of the month is Sebastian Hoeneß. Flavour of the month is Kieran McKenna. Flavour of the decade, because he's bald and worked with Pep, is Enzo Maresca, who absolutely bottled it with Leicester. McKenna, as you said, credit to him. Fantastic job he's done. People say, well, Frank Lampard came in. Frank Lampard only came to Chelsea because no one else would, much like he did when he came in for that interim stint. I don't know much about Michel, I'll be brutally honest, and I don't know much about Sebastian Hoeneß, right? But again, two coaches who have led teams very good for a season. But guess what? Both of those teams have a structure behind them. And they'll talk about Hirona and the multi-club model. Yeah, guess what City did with their multi-club model before they did it? They got the first club right. It's amazing when you do things properly how it can work. It's shocking, isn't it? I'm really surprised, Tom.
Yeah, I can't dispute anything you just said, sadly. I didn't want to talk about this. This was not on the agenda. I was looking forward to doing a nice happy review, having finished sixth, and looking back at the memories of the up and down season and thinking ahead to next year. Well, never get complacent as a Chelsea fan. If you have a good time, enjoy it. Obviously, we had 20 years of pretty good times, but now especially, that mantra is true, because it just feels like even when it's good, it's not good, and it's just. Ugh. And a lot of the players have put some pretty, I was going to say cryptic Instagram messages. It wasn't even cryptic. It's pretty bloody obvious that they're not happy. And why would they be? They got on with the manager. They made that clear that they got on with the manager, and then they've got rid of him anyway. But young players need the same system. They need a manager that can both tell them off, nurture them like almost a second father. They're there so much. They're away from home. You know, a lot of these players have come from all over the world. They need that. Relationship. And if you're going to sack a manager every year, they're not going to get it. And then I really worry about their development, to be honest. And if you bring in a manager who, as Chelsea have had a lot of over the years, are perhaps scared to play youth or don't want to play youth or are thinking very short-termist, which is the whole point of this so-called project, is it's not meant to be short-termist, Then that worries me, because that's one thing Poch always has been, and that's why I was not completely anti him at the start of the season, is he does play youth and he does get the best out of youth players eventually. And we've now decided to get rid of that manager. I hope that whoever we bring in is not on that list. I would not say no to Thomas Tuchel again, but he won't come. I would not say no to Antonio Conte again, but he won't come. Mourinho would be absolutely hilarious if they went there, because I just do not think that could possibly work with the way the club is structured. You know, there's that list. There's Thomas Frank, who I really like as a manager. And you think, what is the next step for him from Brentford? And it probably is maybe a club like Chelsea, but you want the club like Chelsea to be ready for a manager like that to come in and stay for a while. And I just don't think the club is ready for a manager to stay for a while. And therefore, it just makes you worried that we're just going to be here again in 12 months, or not even 12 months, maybe in 6 months.
Yeah, with that list.
We're just really struggling.
With that list.
With the amount of games we're going to have to play. With the fact that, as I said before, if I was a player, I would not want to come to Chelsea. And I'm a Chelsea fan, you know, and I still would look at this and go, nah, I don't want to go. And that's with Europe secured, Premier League, being in London, everything. So it's a mess. And it's one I don't want to think about for a little while, but I also want to get solved quickly. So,
are there any other names on the list? Like any other names that might enlighten people, give it a bit of joy?
There's one very obscure name that's only been mentioned by, really one source. I've gone a bit under the radar. I haven't seen Ornstein or Matt Law or anyone like that mentioning him. I don't know why. It's this guy called Louis Benvenuti? Louis Benvenuti, yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's thrown his hat in the ring after a bit of a sabbatical in football management. You know, a third place finish with Imperial Wharf in the 2020-21 season in the Sunday, or was it Saturday?
We were
West
robbed.
London.
We actually...
West End London League.
Robbed.
Statistically, not horrendous. Defensively, pretty good stats. 22 goals conceded in 18 games. 11 wins, 4 draws, 3 losses. My big concern with this manager, though, Louis, a bit of a lack of goals scored. 31 goals scored in 18, you know, less than 2 a game. Is that a bit of a backward step from Poch's 2 goals a game? Or, you know, how do you think this manager could work with his Chelsea side?
Look, I think from what I understand about that manager, he had a very, very tough season with injuries, much like Poch. He was up against it with the West London AFA and also the Amateur Football Alliance, I believe, Solo Imperial Wharf. Their deposit back, which they still haven't paid them after 3 years. There was a bit of how I think Louis described it to me as wanky handshake brigade going on when they tried to throw the rule book at teams in a season which was dominated by COVID, just so that a team that had been there a while could win the league, which were the words that were used to Louis, apparently. The words used were, well, they've been in the league a while and we'd really love to see them win something, was the actual words used to Louis. So, you know, that season was a tough one. But, you know, look, he brought in some fantastic players. There are some really, really great young players that have gone on to do great things after spending time with Benevente. I think that, you know, Ed Valacca is a name that does spring to mind since leaving Imperial Wharf, playing in the Europa Conference League qualifiers for Europa Point in the Europa Conference League. So, you know, it's. I think he'd be a very interesting character on the touchline. I do also think he'd inject a lot of passion into the stadium. You know, tactically, the football is very simple, very direct, no messing about, keep it simple, get the ball up the pitch. But, you know, the other thing to say in your argument for the lack of goals, Tom, I guess, is there is a fantastic AC Milan team that didn't score very many goals but still managed to win a league. So, you know, defensively quite resolute, but alongside that, if we can inject a good centre forward, I think Benevente's got plenty to work with there.
Yeah, interesting. That was interesting. You know, you have to say and question whether the transition from the West End London League to the Premier League is a natural one. But you know, the question has to be asked as to whether the Roberto De Zerbi is qualified as well. So it is interesting to throw this name in the ring. But yeah, with the bookies, Louis Benevente is currently 17,573-1. So if you fancy it, stick a fiver on that and you will be a very rich person for when he inevitably does not become manager. But yeah, that's an interesting name there on the list. You know, I believe we would always say, let us know who you want to be manager of Chelsea Football Club.
Who do you want?
I can't believe we're saying that again. Who do I want?
Me. If you don't say me, I'll be disappointed.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I genuinely, none of the options excite me at all.
Or even Benevente ball off of that pitch.
Including you. Because, I mean, you know, no, not being disrespectful to you. You know, your stats are genuinely quite impressive, and I mean that. But I'm not sure the West End London AFA League to the Premier League is a natural progression. And if you do it, then that would be an unbelievable Netflix documentary. But
great, definitely. That's exactly what they want.
I don't know. You know what? If we're not going down a toxic ex role, which I'm assuming we're not, because I don't think that would work, then I think the only option that I don't completely hate is Thomas Frank.
Rue and Amorim as well for me. It's between those two.
Oh, and Amorim. Yes, Amorim. Sorry, I forgot he's still on the list. He's probably the one because they've been linked with him for 2 years. So there's clearly a bit of a relationship building there. So yeah, I'd go with him. But my big issue with him is he has no Premier League experience. So that's the problem. But, you know, whoever comes in has a job on their hands. And I hope that they manage to negotiate better with this board than their predecessors.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's much room for negotiation with this board right now, so hopefully everyone learns a lesson from this. But guys, this has been the Chelsea Echo. That has been your deep dive into the managers with a special edition of Stat Shaggers with Tom Arse, including the introduction of Louis Benevente on the touchline. Once again, Stamford Bridge. We all want to see it. Don't lie. I think it'd be fantastic. Those touchline sprints will be back. I'll jump into the Matthew Harding. I'd go find my seat. I'd sit in my seat to celebrate a goal. It's exactly what it would be. I think it's important to have that situation. So let's get the hashtag going. Bring Benaventi ball to the bridge. I think that's what we need. I think it's really catchy as well. Great marketing. So, you know, they'll love it. Anyway, guys, that has been the Chelsea Echo. Please make sure that you follow us on all of our platforms. Make sure you check out the sideline as well. We're going to have a lot more content coming out over the next few weeks. If you have signed up to the sideline, you will have seen that we've done our top seasons under Roman Abramovich this week. So obviously with that, you can go find that over on the sideline, as well as all the other great pieces of content. Make sure to follow Tom on Twitter at TomMasters11. Make sure to follow me at Louis_Benaventi. And guys, we will see you for the end of season review. Take care.